On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Jesus' own disciples turned aside from him. Listening, following Jesus is an all-in thing. Either you believe Jesus and his word, or you don't. There's no middle ground. Either he is the Son of God who came down from heaven, as he says, and he gives life to this world, and he did give his flesh, and he did rise again, and he will come again. Or you don't believe him. There is no taking Jesus partway. There is only taking him all the way in faith. To be a disciple of Jesus, essentially, is to yield your heart, your soul, and your mind all to Jesus as your teacher, and to take everything he says as truth. Jesus' own disciples turned aside from him. It's a sad, hard reality. And perhaps even more frightening is when we realize the horrifying truth that this is the same flesh which we battle against.
The following is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, reaching out with rock solid hope in Rim Country. August 26, 2018. John 6:60-69.
A major potato chip company once came up with a pretty clever slogan. It was, "Bet you can't have just one." Of course, I think we all know how that happens. You have one taste of that salty, fatty chip that's so crunchy, and pretty soon the whole bag's gone. And when you think about it, shouldn't God be able to say the same about the spiritual food he gives? Shouldn't he be able to say, when you taste of the bread of life, you're going to crave it more and more? And yet, as we look at the Bread of Life series in John 6, we don't see that happening, do we? We see how some people, when they taste of the Bread of Life, they want more, but still others reject it, dismiss it, and after even having tasted that bread and being served the Bread of Life, reject it. But this morning, as we conclude our series on John 6, we see another important truth as Jesus leads us to understand the bread of life is hard to swallow without the Spirit. Jesus had fed that 5,000, and then the very next day, after he fed them the fish and the bread, he continued to feed them the spiritual food he had been giving them. He was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum, and Jesus was giving them that bread of life as he explained how he came down from heaven. And as he taught them, he said that he gives his flesh for the life of the world. And the benefit, he said, is those who partake and believe in him, in his gospel, have eternal life, and he will raise them on the last day. And Jesus explained, as we saw last week, how he is the only source of that spiritual food. So as Jesus served this up, he was giving them the bread of life, the gospel. And this food was prepared, and the table was set and served by the master chef himself, Jesus. Well, how did the people, the crowds around him, respond? As Jesus taught in the synagogue that morning, we see a lot of the Jews around him rejected his teaching. And they said, "How can he say I came down from heaven?" You can imagine, as he's teaching in the synagogue, many of them left, not believing a word he said. They rejected him. But then again, Jesus was also teaching his disciples, wasn't he? There were the 12 disciples of Jesus there who had gone just a few days earlier preaching and teaching and performing miracles. And in addition to these 12 disciples, there were many other disciples that followed Jesus. These were the disciples that would have heard Jesus' parables, would have seen his miracles. They're the disciples who followed him, and we read about them on the Sermon on the Mount as they listened to his teaching. These disciples would have been the ones baptized by John or baptized by one of Jesus' 12. They were the ones who called him rabbi, teacher, and followed him and listened to him. You know, if those unbelieving Jews, if they were guests at the dinner table Jesus was serving the bread of life, these were family. How would they respond as Jesus served them this food? It appears some of them had a hard time swallowing it and a tough time chewing on the food which Jesus was feeding them, his bread of life. We read in John 6, verse 60, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" But like spoiled children at their father's dinner table, they turned their nose aside from the food set before them and pushed aside the plate and refused it, rejected it. "How can anyone feed on this? This is not food for me." That's a hard thing. Jesus' own very disciples. And as John goes on, he says here that many at this point turned aside. This marks a turning point in Jesus' ministry. As it says, from then on, many of Jesus' disciples turned aside and no longer followed him. Can you just picture Jesus after his teaching, seeing not just those crowds leave, but the people he had taught, the people he had traveled with and been with for so long as his disciples. And he sees them beginning to leave, and he knows they're turning aside from his word. But Jesus is not allowing them now to leave without one more teaching. "Does this offend you?" he says to them. Of course, Jesus knew that many of them were offended by his teaching. He knew, actually, which one of them, as John says, had faith and which ones didn't. And he even knew so far as which of his 12 did not believe and would betray him and would reject him. Jesus doesn't ask this because he's wondering if it offends them. He knows it offends many of them. And he knows they do not believe. No, he's asking this to lead to a teaching point. Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? In other words, if you can't accept that I came down from heaven, if you can't accept that I am God's divine Savior, the Holy One for the rescue of this world, how can you accept me teaching that I will also rise and be glorified and ascend into heaven in glory? See, what Jesus is getting at is, he is their teacher, and listening, following Jesus is not an halfway thing, it's an all-in thing. Either you believe Jesus and his word, or you don't. There's no middle ground. Either he is the Son of God who came down from heaven, as he says, and he gives life to this world, and he did give his flesh, and he did rise again, and he will come again. Or you don't believe him. There is no taking Jesus partway. There is only taking him all the way in faith. To be a disciple of Jesus, essentially, is to take your mind and your reason and to set it aside and to yield your heart, your soul, and your mind all to Jesus as your teacher and to take everything he says as truth. But nonetheless, Jesus knew some didn't believe, and he explains why. Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. By using the word flesh here, he's speaking of that which is opposed to the Holy Spirit, that which is in the human heart. And he's using the word flesh the same way that the Apostle Paul does when Paul says, the sinful mind, as it's translated, is hostile to God. Jesus is saying, this flesh, it counts for nothing. This is what every person has, as Jesus says in John 3. Flesh gives birth to flesh. We're all born with this. From the highest professor at Harvard University to the President of the United States, all of us are born with this flesh, which counts for nothing. That is, it can do nothing spiritually. In fact, it takes the bread of life, it sees the food that God serves, and it pushes it aside, it rejects it. Jesus knows why many of the disciples are leaving him. But how can we then believe? How then can we eat this spiritual food? The Spirit gives life. And we don't have to go looking around for the Spirit to find out how we get this Spirit so we can eat this food and have life. No, he says, the words I have spoken to you, they are Spirit-filled and they are life-giving. It is through the Word of God in his gospel that the Holy Spirit is active to bring life. And those hearts which are flesh and which are opposed to God, the Holy Spirit works on to bring to faith and to cause this heart to trust in the words of God and to eat the bread of life and to say, I want more of this bread of life and to crave it and long for it. And with that, to have life. The Holy Spirit works this in the hearts of people as the gospel is shared. So why is it that if the word of God is spirit-filled and it gives life, why is it that some here are leaving Jesus? Jesus sees many of them leaving. And of course, we've seen this too, right? People that have confessed the name of Jesus, who have been his disciple, end up turning aside from him and no longer following him. We've seen this in the life of Christians that you perhaps know. Maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a family member, a son or a daughter. Maybe it's someone that you knew at one point gathered at this congregation and confessed Christ as a disciple, or another congregation that you know and no longer does. Some end up turning aside from these spirit-filled, life-giving words. Because they take that flesh, that human reason, and they begin to question and turn aside from the word of God. The flesh can reject that message. This is a sad truth when you look at what happens. That questions can come up and someone might say, well, I don't really have to say that Jesus is in charge, do I? I don't have to accept everything he says. And do I really need to believe what the Bible says about creation? And when I see that God clearly used evolution. Maybe it doesn't begin with someone reflecting the deity of Jesus, but at some point, in some teaching of God's word, they begin to choke on what is fed them. And the flesh, that sinful heart, puts itself over God's word. And they begin to turn aside from the one, the only one who has truth, and the only one who gives them the food they need. This is something that Jesus understands the pain of, too. You know a friend or a family member that maybe has turned aside from Jesus? Well, Jesus felt this. As he sees, it says, many of his disciples deserting him. As Jesus can actually see which one of them doesn't even have faith and has rejected him. So the words of the prophecy in Psalm 55 are fulfilled, in which we see, if an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were raising himself against me, I could hide from him. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship, as we walked with the throng at the house of God. Jesus' own disciples turned aside from him, and he knew what this felt like. It's a sad, hard reality. And perhaps even more frightening is when we realize the horrifying truth that this is the same flesh which we battle against, in which our own hearts cause us to step aside at times. It's that own flesh which we also have, which causes those questions to come up. Should I believe and should I listen to everything Jesus says? Are these words really for me? And the Christian heart is tempted to wonder and think, did God really create this world in 6 days? Does God really tell me that he has taken this heart and given it new life through water and the Spirit? Does the bread and the wine that I take, does it really give me, as Jesus says, his body and blood for forgiveness? Is that really true, what Jesus says, that he will come again? And the sinful heart begins to question God's word. And many Christians have answered these questions not by turning to the one who has life, but by turning to their own sinful hearts and turning aside from the bread of life. How does one respond to the bread of life when it becomes hard for the flesh to swallow? Well, we could say, well, I'm going to look for a church that teaches what I want. Or we could say, well, that's not what I grew up believing. My belief, that is my flesh. Or we might say that, well, I'm going to start turning aside from this to what I want. Or we could, led by the Spirit, begin to ask, where else can I turn but to him who gives life? Notice that, yes, many did turn aside, but not all of them. Jesus says, the words I speak are spirit and they are life. And he turns to his 12 now, his disciples that are close, and he says, you don't want to leave too, do you? And once again, Jesus knows. He already knows which of them believe, and as he asks this question, it's not to find the answer. No, it's for them, by the Spirit, to now confess their truth that they've been led to believe. And Peter speaks up. Peter, who doesn't judge the hearts of others, but assumes the same Spirit that gave him life and caused him to trust in his Savior and to eat that bread, also worked on the hearts of those around him, because that word is Spirit-filled. And so Peter says, we believe, and we know that you are the Holy One of God. Lord, to whom else can we turn? The Holy Spirit had worked through that word on Jesus' disciples and many others to bring them to have life and to eat that bread of life. And it's that same Spirit, that Holy Spirit that worked in the word when it was shared with you, that caused you to say, I believe that by that water and by that word, my God's promise has been fulfilled, and he gave me his Spirit. And I believe that as that word is shared, the Spirit is active to create life. And I believe that with the body and the blood comes the promise of God, forgiveness, the new covenant. We receive of him, and we partake, as he said, of that food which gives us strengthening of faith, gives us life. And we can confess, along with Peter, and along with all of God's saints who are led by the Spirit, we have come to know and to believe that you are the Holy One of God. God, give us this food, and with his Spirit, keep us in this faith. Amen.
To hear more messages like this, visit rockofages-payson.com.